Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to welcome you to our service this morning on this sunny Sunday morning in Somerset. We all know it quite well, but it goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor my head by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. And so it's an amazing psalm. It just starts off by saying, I am enjoying God. I am enjoying the fact that he is my Father. That means I have everything. I don't need for anything else. And then the middle bit is sort of about trusting God when times aren't so great. You know, we're struggling perhaps for whatever reason. But we can trust in God because he's reliable. But it ends up with rejoicing and his head being anointed with oil. And he's recognizing that God is pursuing him all the days of his life. And that's an amazing thought. And God pursuing us is not about us being clever and hanging on to God, but God is hanging on to us. He is pursuing us, and we will live with him forever. We will be rejoicing with God in heaven. All right, so I am going over there and getting my paintbrush out. And wrong bag. If you want to see, you might have to move down in Indy. I might be in your way as well. So feel free to have a shuffle around. And I'm just going to write this first word up here. Writing is never my strong point. So, let's see if you can read my writing. So, what does this word say? Wild. What comes into your mind when we say wild? Wild. Children? Wild. Wilderness? Animals? Tigers? Wild tigers, yeah. So, the one I'm thinking of is a cheetah. Because he is such an amazing animal, and how fast can a cheetah run? I think it's the fastest animal. How 70 miles an hour. That's amazing, isn't it? 70 miles an hour. Can you imagine that? You know, my car struggles to get to 70, but a cheetah can do that when he's out doing this. I'm sorry, I can't stand anywhere else and do this. Running. So when a cheetah's running, he goes 70 miles an hour. Not for too long, I don't think, but that's what he can do. But I want to tell you a story about a wild man this morning. And he was running around in circles and not getting anywhere. It's a bit like a cheetah in a zoo, really. He runs around and he can't run at 70 miles an hour in a zoo, can he? Can only go in circles. And this man was going round and round in circles. And his name was Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz, you may well know the story. He grew up in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean island, a wonderful place, I imagine. And yet he had a very, very difficult family life. And when he was about 5 years old, he was caught stealing. And as a punishment, his father locked him in a dark place for a long time. And when he came out of there, Nicky was feeling this emotion. He was just full of anger. And that didn't help him. He was just so angry. And he was only five. It was so sad. And he just carried on being so angry that in the end his parents sent him off to live in New York with his brother. And so he went to school in New York, and that sadly didn't last very long because he was so angry in school. He wouldn't keep the rules, so he got expelled from school, and he couldn't be bothered to live with his brother under his brother's rules. And so he went and lived on the streets. And Nicky's life went even further downhill, as you can imagine. And so Nicky joined a gang. That was the thing to do in those days on the streets in New York. You could join a gang to give you some sort of family, some sort of credibility, perhaps. And so that's what Nicky Dunn did. And he was still this angry person, though. But he only had one friend in this gang, really. And one day they had a big gang fight, and this friend got killed. And this made Nicky really, really sad, and he made him this as well. That's right, he was lonely. And so now he wasn't only angry, he was lonely as well and wild. And actually he was running. He was running. He didn't really realize he was running, I guess, but he was not at ease with himself at all. He was running around in circles and getting nowhere, and he was feeling so lonely. And at night time, often he would wake up in the middle of the night full of this. He was full of fear. And that's sad, isn't it? When you wake up in the middle of the night full of fear, and the night seems so long, and it's so scary in the dark. And yet this was a gang member, and he was strong, he was tough, and yet he was just so angry and lonely and fearful all the time. Well, this is actually a good news story, and the good news was that there was a man called David Wilkerson who had a real heart for these gang members. And even though they were wild, angry and fearful, he wanted to come and tell them about Jesus. And so he prayed a lot about it, and then he did this because he felt he had God's authority to come and tell them about the Lord Jesus. He felt he had God's authority, and that's amazing, isn't it? And that's God's Spirit talking to him and saying, Nick, David, if you go there, I will go with you, and you can tell them about Jesus. And so you can imagine that David Wilkerson, he was actually quite a small guy, and he's described himself, I think, as a skinny sort of preacher. And yet he was going to face up people like Nicky Cruz, you know, this gang leader. Nicky actually got to be the leader of the gang. The gang was called the Mau Maus, and they had their uniform, and they were feared wherever they went. But David was going to go and tell them about Jesus and how Jesus had died on the cross for them. And so David Wilkerson met Nicky Cruz face to face. And who was going to be the most scared, do you think? David Wilkerson. I reckon if I was him, I would be very scared. But he knew he had God's authority to be there. And he knew he wasn't on his own. God was with him. So he was being really brave. And Nicky, we know, was fearful and lonely and angry. And so as they faced each other, David just displayed this towards Nicky. He just showed him God's love. And he told him that Jesus had died on a cross. And one day David Wilkerson said, right, I'm going to have a big meeting. I want all the gangs to come and hear the message of Jesus. And that was just a kind of really silly thing in a way to do, to get all the gangs together, because that was asking for trouble. And the gang said, yeah, we'd do that. We'll have a bit of a laugh to start off with. And then we'll have this big fight inside, a rumble, they called it. They'd have these rumbles all the time. And that was what they lived for, really. I mean, I can't get my head around it, but that was what their plan was. But in the beginning of that meeting, Nikki's heart was touched by God's love. And he experienced God's love like he'd never experienced anything before. And as David told about Jesus being crucified on the cross because he loved them to forgive his sins, Nikki felt this emotion. He felt this freedom like he'd never felt before in his whole life. It hadn't been that long a life, but it was quite significant. Felt his freedom. And he was alive once more. He wasn't full of fear. He was alive and he'd seen and felt God's love. And life was so different for him. And so now he left his gang behind and he went off to Bible college to study the Bible. And then he got married and then he came back to these same streets and told all the other gang members how he was changed and how he was so different now. And it just reminds me of the cheetah, really. You know, when the cheetah's in its natural environment, he's free, isn't he? And how fast does he run? 70 miles an hour. Wouldn't you like to do that? And that's a bit like Nikki Cruz. He was now free. Free to live for God. Free to tell other people about this great love of God and how the Lord Jesus had saved us, forgiven his sins and given him new life. Let me read you a bit out of the book here that Nikki Cruz wrote. And it's amazing. This is Nikki Cruz's words. And so this is just after the meeting that they had where all the gangs come along. And Nikki and his co-sort of leader, Israel, had just decided to follow Jesus. And so it says, Israel and I embraced, the tears running down our faces and wetting each other's shirts. I loved him. He was my brother. Wilkerson stepped out and was now in the back room. I loved him too, that skinny grinning preacher I'd spat on just weeks earlier. I loved him. Nikki, Israel, he said, I want to give you a Bible. I have other Bibles for the mamas too. Come with me and I'll get them for you. And so we followed him into another room, and there in the boxes on the floor were copies of the Black Book. He bent over and picked up a pocket-sized edition of the New Testament and started to pass it to us. Hey, Davy, I asked, what about these big books? Could we have one of those big books? We want everyone to know we're Christians now. And Wilkerson looked surprised. The big books were just that. They were giant-sized editions of the Bible. But the boys wanted them, and he was willing to give them to us. Man, Israel said, grinning at me. How about that, a 25-pound Bible? It felt like it too, but the weight of it was small in comparison to the weight that had been lifted from my heart that night as the sin was removed and the love flowed in. Late that night, I climbed my steps to my room and as a new person. It was a little after 11 o'clock, which was early for me, but I was very anxious to get back to my room. There was no more need to run. The streets had no appeal to me. I had no more need to be recognised as a gang leader. I had no fear of the night now. And I went to my closet and I took off my mama jacket and my shoes and put them in a bag. No more, I thought to myself. No longer will I need these. I reached up to the shelf and took down my revolver. By force of habit, I started to put shells in the magazine so that I could sleep with the gun at my side on my nightstand. But suddenly I remembered. Jesus loves me. He will protect me. I put the bullets and placed them back in the small box and put the gun on the shelf. In the morning, I would turn the gun into the police. I walked by the mirror. I couldn't believe what I saw. There was light coming from my face that I'd never seen before. I smiled at myself. Hey, Nikki, look how handsome you are. Too bad you'll have to give up all those girls now. Now you're so handsome. I broke out laughing at the irony of it all. But I was happy. The burden of fear had gone. I could laugh. I knelt beside the bed and put my head back and said, "Jesus." Nothing else came out. And Jesus. And finally the words came, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you." That night, for the first time in my memory, I put my head on my pillow and slept 9 beautiful hours. No tossing on the bed. No fear of sounds outside the room. The nightmares were gone. And so, you can imagine this wild guy, Nicky, being totally, totally changed by God's love. If you don't know the story, you can borrow the book and find it all out. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And let's sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Okay, so I'd just like to speak to this time about hope beyond the grave, the confidence to face death. So just a quick recap on last week. Last week we saw John's vision of a new heaven and a new earth. No evil or imperfections there for us to worry about. Evil and death have been done away with. But we see that now we need more than just a good environment. We need a new body, a perfect society in the presence of God. And that was what was going to happen with this new heaven and new earth. And so we have the past, which we see, the resurrection of Jesus, breaking that power of death. And the future with Jesus is secure. But we have to live right here and now, in the middle of those two things. And so sometimes we can struggle, but the purpose of this talk is really how can we get to build our confidence in God to be full of faith, because death can be quite harsh and hurtful. And it's interesting that the resurrection of Jesus probably wasn't noticed by too many people in the world at that time. There would have been quite a few in Jerusalem who knew about it, but outside of that area, I guess it wasn't much known about. And it's much the same as today. You know, it's not really considered much outside of the church, and so guess really nothing much has changed on that front. But if you think of the resurrection like a small explosion in the bottom of a dam on a big river, but it's only this small explosion, you know, and the dam doesn't collapse. But what you do get is some cracks in that dam, and some serious cracks, which over time, all of a sudden, that dam is going to collapse. And so that's what we see, the resurrection of Jesus. It's done its job, it's had its effect, but the effect is not widely seen. But one day it will be, and everything downstream will be swept away when that dam goes. Now remember that death only came after Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden. But now it is a dominant fear in life, isn't it? You know, but we need to remember that Jesus has broken the power of death by the resurrection. And Jesus didn't put this forward as a theory. He put it forward in his life. You know, it wasn't something he wrote about. He was put to death, but he came back to life. And so that is just incredible. Now, the last year or so, you don't need me to tell you, we've been bombarded with news of death on the news. How many people have died today and all this sort of thing. And I remember an older lady ringing up a Radio 4 program and saying, "How would you like to be told on the hour, every hour, that you are very much at risk of catching this virus and dying soon?" Because that was how she was feeling. She was being told this. And you know, we can recognize that. And so it's no wonder there was so much fear of death around, and that people were putting their lives on hold. There's a well-known quote that says, "There's two certainties in life, death and taxes." And that rings true. We don't really like to talk about death much, but I'm sure there's going to be plenty of discussion about taxes, especially in the future. But our society doesn't like the subject of death. You know, we'd rather forget about it, put it behind. We're not going to really die. You know, we've got a great NHS which will look after us and do everything and extend our lives as much as they can. Now, death can be really, really tragic, and I don't want to underestimate that, or it can be less tragic and more gentle. I don't want to downplay anybody's grief or suffering, and we know Mo's brother died sort of months ago or so, and my dad 3 months ago now, I think. And for those left behind, it can be difficult and painful for a long period of time, and that is grief. And grieving is a necessary process, but it's not a destination in itself. We have to move through this grief. And famously, Queen Victoria was unable to deal with her the death of her husband, Prince Albert. And she wore somber clothing for the rest of her life, it was said. And she even insisted that a fresh set of clothing were laid out for him in the mornings. And that is incredibly sad. And it would be better to follow an example of King David. Now, King David had done bad stuff, but once... And his infant child was suffering and dying. And so David was praying for him and fasting for him and weeping for him while he was alive. But when the child died, David returned to life as normal in the confidence that he would see his son again one day in heaven. And so that must be an incredibly painful thing, especially if you feel blame as he would have done in those circumstances. But I was thinking of some memory verses. What memory verses have we had that could help us in this situation? Anybody got any ideas? We'll have a few on the screen, but you may well have some ideas first. Okay, Jill, let's have our first one up there. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And so... if we're in the situation where we're brokenhearted, you know, we have to turn to God because it says that he will rescue us. But we do need to turn to him. And our next one was casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. You know, these are things that we can do if we're in this difficult situation of grief and mourning. We cast our cares upon God. We tell him how we feel. If you read some of the Psalms, they're very explicit in how David and others felt, and quite shocking in many regards. But we can tell God these things. We can tell him how much it hurts. The Bible tells us all about life and death, and so we can be prepared as possible, as much as possible. But you know, we have to keep in mind, another memory verse now is this one, that our life here is not everything. It's saying, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume, break in, destroy. Because our treasure can be in heaven. And we need to keep our eyes on God and not on all the things on this earth to that extent. And so that will help us through these difficult periods of time. But you know, the Bible is not just a nice story with a happy ending for everybody. There are warnings of judgment day and separation of the wheat and the chaff, the sheep and the goats, those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and those who are not. And Jesus did speak about hell. And Mark chapter 9, verse 47-48, Jesus says about if you're sinning because of what you're looking at. He says, it's better to get rid of your eyes than to go into heaven with no eyes than it is to be thrown into hell in the next life. And you know, my own testimony, my Sunday school teacher told me that we need to be on the right side of God on judgment day. And so I took her advice, I confessed my sin, and I said sorry to Jesus for the things I've done wrong. And Jesus said, I forgive you because I died on the cross, I love you. And so Jesus took my hell upon himself when he died on the cross. And when Jesus was there was two people being crucified the same on either side. And one of them said to him, he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know, it wasn't a great long theological prayer he prayed. And he'd probably never given any thought to Jesus before that moment. But then he said those words, just four words, have mercy on me. And Jesus replied and said, today you will be with me in paradise. And so it hasn't got to be a long, complicated thing. It can be a very straightforward thing, giving our lives to Jesus. And so the Bible gives us a solution as well as a problem. You know, it's not just a book of doom and gloom. It gives us hope, as I really hope we've seen through this time. But what are we told about Jesus' death and resurrection? Let's have a look in 1 Corinthians 15, and our four readers are going to come and give us from verse 35 to 57, starting with Logan. So, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 47. All right.
Plant that you put in the ground. You only plant a seed. Maybe it's wheat or something else, but God gives the seed a body, just as he planned. And to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all earthly creatures are the same. People have one kind of body, animals have another, birds have another kind, fish have still another.
There are also heavenly bodies as well as earthly bodies. Heavenly bodies have one kind of glory, earthly bodies have another. The sun has one kind of glory, the moon has another kind. The stars have still another, and one star glory is different from that of another star. It will be like that with bodies that are raised from the dead. The body that is planted does not last forever. The body that is raised from the dead lasts forever. It is planted with honor, but it is raised in glory. It is planted in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is planted an earthly body, but it is raised as a spiritual body. Just as there is an earthly body, there is also a spiritual body. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. The last Adam, that is Christ, is a living, life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, just came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man.
I tell you, this brother's flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, all of you. You read really well. Thank you. So if we have a quick look at Logan's reading, the first part there, and we see this link between death and new life. And people seem to be worrying about how it was going to happen, the physics of how could bodies which die and decompose, how could they be raised again in new life? And Paul is saying, you know, don't you know that a seed, you plant a seed in the ground and then you get a plant and they look very different. And so I've got a seed here. This is a seed, one can not really call it a tiny seed, it's a nasturtium seed, and this is a nasturtium plant. And so you can actually see the seed on this, at the edge of the root there. And the nasturtium plant is only a little one at the moment, but it's totally different from the seed, isn't it? There's no comparison. You know, this is just a little round sort of funny looking thing, and yet the plant has got some nice leaves. And if we see this nasturtium plant when it's grown and flowered, it's totally different. I mean, it cannot be compared with that seed that I've just dropped. You know, there's absolutely no comparison. You probably can't even see the seed from where you are. But there's just no comparison. That's what Paul is saying here in this passage. There's no comparison between the body which we have now and our resurrected body. And so that is what he's saying quite clearly. And then we went on to Natasha's reading. And we hear about these different bodies being evident. We know about different bodies. You know, where there's heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, and they're all different. And now we're often disappointed with our bodies because they're weak and they're in the natural. They get tired and worn out and broken. But in the future, our resurrected bodies are going to be glorious. They're going to be powerful. They're going to be heavenly and spiritual bodies there. So it'll be a totally different contrast. You know, like that weed to the seed to the plant. It'll be no comparison whatsoever. We look at Isla's reading, and we saw this comparison between the first man, Adam, and what they call the second man, Christ. And so it's contrasting Adam and Christ. And so we're the earthly, like Adam, and Christ is the heavenly man. You know, that the man of full love who had no sin in him. And so we're like Adam, but we're later going to be like Christ. We're going to be perfect like Jesus. And that is incredible, isn't it, to try and get your head around that. And then if we flip over into Aston's reading, and he's saying these bodies of ours can't actually make it into heaven, because some of the people, I think, were worrying that, but whilst it was fine for those who had died, you know, their body was going to decompose and they're going to have this great new heavenly body, what about us? If Jesus came back, well, before we had died, you know, what about our bodies? How are they going to get to heaven? Because we know they're corrupted. And Paul says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But what's going to happen? And so the Apostle Paul tells us that if Jesus comes back and we're alive, it's going to be that trumpet call, he says, and we shall be changed. You know, he said the dead, those who died, they come back with their heavenly bodies first, but then we shall be changed. Our old bodies will be changed into new, powerful, resurrected bodies. And so that is just amazing, isn't it? And he said at that moment, there's going to be this cry that goes out, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? And you know, we will know that in total, 100% on that moment, that death has been defeated. And Isaiah the prophet even prophesied this many moons ago. And he said in Jerusalem, Isaiah 25, he says, in Jerusalem, the Lord of the heavens' armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of doom, the cloud of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, this people will proclaim, this is our God. We trusted him. He saved us. This is the Lord whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation which he brings. And you know, it will be all confirmed then that Jesus is alive and well and resurrected. And so Paul ends this reading in Corinthians there. He says, how we thank God who has given us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so death is very prominent in life today, you know. We don't have to think very hard about the last person we've known that has died. But we have victory. Jesus has given us victory over sin and death. And so, yes, death does hurt. Excuse me, I just need a drink. death does hurt, and it can hurt very, very much. But it's not the end. It's not the end. Another memory verse that we've had, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so the question is, have we put our trust in our faith and hope and trust in Jesus? Have we done that? Let us turn from our sin, from ourselves, and receive the assurance of eternal life with God. That's what we need to do. And so our last hymn is suggesting that. And it's saying, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So shall we stand to sing our closing hymn? Shall we just pray? Dear Lord God, we just want to thank you so much. You have given us your word. You have given us the Bible, which gives us assurance of new life after when this one is over. And so we just pray, Lord, that we can trust you completely in this. We can hand our lives over to you in the confidence that you are our King, our Lord, our Sovereign God, and that you will forgive us our sins and make us pure to go to heaven to be with you. So, Lord, we just pray for us that you go with us through the rest of this day and this coming week. Lord, bless us and encourage us and help us to just tell those people around us about yourself. Lord, let it just flow out like a river that has to come out, and that it can be done in love and good deeds. And so we ask this now, pray a blessing upon everybody here. Amen.